Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he is in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At the very pinnacle of the wisdom books of the Old Testament is positioned a book that early church fathers testify about the Jewish tradition of the day, that men were not allowed to read until they were of 30 years of age. No such restriction exists today for the reading of the book Song of Songs, also known as Song of Solomon, sometimes Canticle of Canticles. But reading through its verses, one might begin to understand just why. This is mature reading for the mature reader. In more than one way, it comes as the third in a series of wisdom books that some church fathers believe were meant to serve as a rough map of spiritual progress. Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Songs. Proverbs is a book for those who are beginning their spiritual walk with God. You can bring Proverbs with you for the rest of your life. But the cacophony of concupiscence and sinful noise in the spiritual life must be quieted somewhat before the road to maturity can be progressed. The fear of the Lord is indeed the beginning of wisdom. But where shall a person progress to when some level of mastery by the grace of God has been granted in the life of victory over sin? Origen and others would teach that the book of Ecclesiastes represents a kind of second stage in the spiritual life. In this stage, one does not wrestle so much with the appetites and passions, has gained a level of mastery over self enough to begin to look at the world with a certain level of understanding. Ecclesiastes teaches by example of King Solomon himself, who was given the rarest of opportunities in his life. He was given permission to have whatever he wanted, to accomplish whatever he wanted, to experience whatever he wanted. Most of us would spend our entire lives wondering what it would be like to win the lottery or to acquire great wealth. Solomon instead spoke to us from that place, a message back to us, having known the world, having seen and experienced and known all that creation had to offer, yet pursuing wisdom all along. He wrote to us from that place as if to say, without the Creator, creation is vanity of vanities. He wrote as if to say, he is not here. But there is a message written here in these created things, speaking of created things as a letter from God to us. Evagrius of Pontus would say in his famous letter to Melania, that is, speaking of a letter, a normal letter, in the same way that one who reads the written characters perceives through their beauty the potency and insight of the hand and fingers that have written them, together with the intention of their author, in the same way, one may, by beholding the creation with understanding, perceive the hand and fingers of its creator, together with his intention, namely, love. To read the creation as a message from a loving God, here is wisdom. If the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, perhaps this is progress. And how does one move on then? From Ecclesiastes, from the love letter to the author of the letter. Where do we read of the lover pursuing the beloved? Indeed, the story of that mystical spiritual pursuit is figured in the Song of Songs. The romantic union of lover and beloved spoken of there is a mystical prefigurement of what is about to happen between bride and bridegroom, between God and his people, between Christ and his church. The famous Greek word agape appears in ecclesiastical usage for the very first time in the translation of Song of Songs and the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament. That word agape, unconditional love. The highest message of spiritual progress in the Old Testament is expressed for the first time in the second chapter of Song of Songs. In this verse, he brought me to his banqueting table. His banner over me is love. He brought me to his banqueting table. His banner over me is unconditional, enduring, heartfelt, and if you can bear it, lovesick affection. This is his banner. In the epistle for the first Sunday after Trinity, we hear from St. John, who without mistake was referred to as the disciple that Jesus loved. And to save you the suspense, the word there in Greek is, again, agape. This same St. John who recorded Jesus' high priestly prayer, where he interceded for the church that she should be unified, that she should be one, entreats the church to understand just who their Lord is. In the first verses of chapter 4 of 1 John, he writes, "Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God." Going so far as to say, "And this is the spirit of Antichrist." Later, and in the passage we've heard today, "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he is in God." Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. To confess that he is such is not just to say the words, but in the same fervency that Solomon from the Old Testament calls out to the ages of the world, pursued for its own sake, creation is vanity of vanities. In fact, he is not here. So likewise, to confess that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God, is to claim with all fervency that all glory and honor and power belong to him. It is to say, "I've found him." But the passage goes on. "We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God." And to save you the suspense one more time, yes, the word that's used there is agape. Let us retrace our steps then. The message of the spiritual growth of the Old Testament culminates in the Song of Songs, where love between God and his people is akin to lover and beloved. Not teacher to student, as in Proverbs, and not as love letter to recipient, as in Ecclesiastes, but as lover to beloved. He brought us to his banqueting table. His banner over us is love. And now, after the incarnation, the sacrifice of Christ, the resurrection, the ascension, and the coming of the Holy Ghost, knowing that God is all powerful, that God is all good, that God is all knowing, that God is present everywhere, that God is eternal, when St. John, the disciple whom God loved, whom our Lord loved, describes God not by all those attributes, but rather by agape. God is love. Furthermore, he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. It is he, St. John, the great mystical theologian of the disciples, who knew Christ as well as anyone could, will say, speaking with all authority granted to him from Christ himself, "He that does not love does not know him, does not know God." There is good news in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it is true that on the one hand it is doctrinal. One may be deeply edified in the study of theology. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is built on truth claims about reality that are not to be contradicted. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that God is love. His love for you has been demonstrated by his own sacrifice for you. But the good news of the gospel is not only a message or a letter to be read. It is that there is a lover. there's not only a kingdom, there's a king. If you don't love him, if you don't love others who are made in his image, St. John has harsh words, then you, in a very real sense, are not of God. Judge yourselves then, lest you be judged. Fear the Lord, as in the book of Proverbs, and leave the noise of hatred and malice and discontent and gossip and backbiting and jealousy behind. And hear the call, going out always to the beloved. Hear the call of God to you. Receive the letter, the message printed for you in all creation. The message behind even all your family and friends and experiences of this life, even painful experiences that have carved out his silhouette through what has been lacking in your life, as King Solomon did in Ecclesiastes, and pursue him himself. Allow him to pursue you so that you too may say with the whole church what we'll all be singing one day. He brought us to his banqueting table. His banner over us is love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.